This is Ozarks at Large. A new study conducted by University of Arkansas water research scientists indicates Beaver Lake may be warming and changing, possibly due to climate change. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this report.
In 2013, the Arkansas Water Resources Center in Fayetteville funded five research projects. One of them proposed by Drs. Byron Winston and his colleague Thad Scott, an assistant professor in the Crop, Soil, and Environmental Sciences Department at the University of Arkansas, looks at how climate change is affecting Beaver Reservoir. Thad Scott is a limnologist or lake scientist who studies biological and chemical influences on water resources.
The water quality conditions in the lake are really good. If you're in the lake and you're just looking at the water clarity and you're up in the river section, it looks murky. But if you're down by the dam, you can see down 50, 100 feet maybe.
Beaver Lake is not a natural lake, but a 44-square-mile impoundment constructed in the 1960s as both a recreational and drinking water resource. The lake became increasingly polluted, primarily from poultry farm nutrient waste runoff, in this case primarily phosphorus, fed to birds to boost growth. It also fed eutrophication of the lake, algae blooms. But thanks to tighter environmental regulation, water quality is improved. But now climate change poses a new threat.
Well, we do have a record that says the lake is warming. Beaver Water District has been collecting temperature data for over 30 years, and their record does indicate some warming in the lake that looks statistically significant. But the project we've been working on is not necessarily about warming per se. It's more to do with what's causing the warming on a global basis, and that's the increasing concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
Carbon dioxide, or CO2, wafting from coal, natural gas, gasoline cars, and oil combustion accounts for 84% of all greenhouse gas emissions in the United States. Between 20 to 50% of carbon dioxide stays in the atmosphere, the rest absorbed by the biosphere, plants and soils, and hydrosphere, lakes and oceans.
The effect that CO2 can have on water bodies is sort of water body dependent, and that's because how carbon dioxide dissolves in water is dependent upon temperature, solute concentrations in the water, like how saline the water is, and a variety of other factors. CO2 concentrations are often also influenced by the type of watershed. So, for instance, really natural lakes in northern landscapes have a lot of forest around them, and those lakes are very, very rich in CO2 already because of the natural processes which are decomposing organic matter in those lakes and putting the CO2 in the lakes. Our water bodies here in Northwest Arkansas are a lot different because they're man-made lakes, so they don't have that buildup of organic matter like the natural lakes do. And also in Northwest Arkansas and in the Ozarks in particular, our lakes tend to be not very alkaline compared to many places throughout the country. So that means that our water isn't very buffered to changes in carbon dioxide.
Like Alka-Seltzer, alkaline lakes buffer excess acid produced by carbon dioxide. And as lakes have warmed, algae blooms have occurred, including toxic blue-green algae cyanobacterial outbreaks in eastern Oklahoma lakes. And too much biomass also steals dissolved oxygen from water, resulting in eutrophication.
Well, we don't know that we have more phytoplankton in Beaver Lake because of global climate change. However, our preliminary work is indicating that it's possible that we may. What really the work so far that we've done has showed is that the lake will be more susceptible to nutrient-driven eutrophication. So in the past, we all know that the more nutrients that enter the lake, the greener the lakes get, and that has implications for water quality. Today, under today's environment, it takes a certain amount of phosphorus to make the lake green. What our research is beginning to show is that in the future, it will take less phosphorus to make the lake just as green because of the increased carbon dioxide concentrations in the lake.
Both Carroll Boone Water District, which operates near Beaver Dam, and Beaver Water District, located in Lowell, uptake, filter, and disinfect drinking water from the reservoir. And disinfection yields certain treatment byproducts. EPA sets a limit of 80 parts per billion for one set of compounds, trihalomethanes, because they convey a slight risk of cancer over the long term. Now, the average trihalomethane level at Carroll Boone Water District, which uses chloramine, was 48 parts per billion, while Beaver Water District, which uses chlorine, was nearly 64 parts per billion, last count. So if climate change causes more junk to grow in the water, will more disinfection be needed?
Well, certainly we know that the more organic matter in the water, the more phytoplankton biomass, the greater the risk for trihalomethane production associated with water treatment.
Removing trihalomethane compounds can be done through activated carbon filters, ozonation, or advanced oxidation, all of which is too expensive for water districts. Julian Ferry, a professor of civil engineering at the University of Arkansas, is working with Thad Scott on municipal water quality research. He specializes in disinfection byproduct formation and control.
The nitrogen and phosphorus that's being added to waters and causing algae to grow, they don't seem to be causing more formation of trihalomethanes, but they do seem to be decreasing the effectiveness of the treatment measures, chlorine dioxide and alum coagulation, that are used at Beaver Water District.
Both legal and legislative pressure have resulted in decreased nutrients in Beaver Reservoir from golf courses, wastewater treatment systems, and farms. But every autumn, the reservoir stratifies or churns up muck due to temperature inversion, causing taste and odor problems, traced to another compound known as methyl isoborneol. So could climate change also exacerbate that? That, Scott?
Most likely, particularly if we see increasing temperatures manifesting themselves in the surface water temperature of the lake, what will likely happen is we'll have a longer stratification duration, or maybe the strength of stratification will become stronger and stronger. And those certainly have implications for the way the lake functions biologically and chemically.
Climate change is also affecting our oceans. A study published in the journal Science made big news this autumn regarding the middle depths of the Pacific warming 15 times faster since 1970 compared to the previous 10,000 years. According to NASA, the excess carbon dioxide is creating more carbonic acid, resulting in a more acidic ocean. And Thad Scott says that threatens aquatic life.
Yeah, so the major implication of that is for corals, which require calcium carbonate to generate their shells, basically the solid material that they eventually make. And what's happening is because the pH of the oceans is decreasing due to carbon dioxide, it's actually dissolving those corals, and there are major concerns about what's going to happen to reefs and reef habitat in the oceans.
One of the keys being investigated by scientists at large to sequestering CO2 is wetlands, both natural and man-made, which act as excellent net carbon sinks. Thad Scott and his colleague Byron Winston expect to publish the results of their preliminary research on Beaver Reservoir over the next several months, and will continue on with this research through the winter. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The Association of Metropolitan Water Agencies honored Beaver Water District, based in Lowell, with a 2013 AMWA Gold Award for Exceptional Utility Performance during ceremonies held on October 28th at its annual meeting in St. Petersburg, Florida.